As we stand, let us pray. Jesus, King of all the ages, reign as King over my life. Jesus, desire of all the nations, you are my heart's desire. Jesus, friend of sinners, though I am not worthy, may I see you face to face. Amen. This is a sermon about Jesus, joy of man's desiring. I've asked the choir to sing it later in the service. Our patronal festival began with Mary's great song of praise. Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord. This is a day for telling out how great the Lord is. It's good to remind ourselves how wonderful he is. How wonderful he is to you and to I. Paul writes to Timothy, I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me. And I want to begin, if I may, on this patronal festival with a short word of personal testimony. On a personal level, I too am so grateful. As one who rivals St. Paul for his title, foremost of sinners, I'm just so conscious of the grace of God overflowing in my life. I'm not worthy of it. I'm just so grateful for all the prayers and support of my loving church family here at St. Mary's. Like Paul, I too rejoice that the Lord has strengthened me. You know, as Christians, we are baptized. We're baptized into Christ's death and into his resurrection. A couple of weekends ago, I was with 4,000 or 5,000 people worshipping God for the whole weekend, for 3 days and nights solid. And one of the songs that we sang was, "We have resurrection in our veins." As a Christian, you have resurrection in your veins. Hear that and receive it. You have resurrection in your veins. Nothing can defeat you. You have resurrection in your veins. After 5 months of severe anemia, singing those words for me was particularly powerful. 5 months of hardly being able to walk. Now I can go for runs every morning with gears. I've got different speeds. It's extraordinary. And as I run, I don't know whether you can remember the film Chariots of Fire, Eric Liddell saying, "When I run, I feel God's pleasure." Well, that's how I'm feeling. It's just extraordinary. Just as ungainly as Eric Liddell when he runs. You remember the film. If you see me running up to the park, running around the park, please look the other way. But I'm just worshipping God as I'm doing it. Absolutely. Sometimes you just feel praise and thanksgiving welling up and you can't keep it in. Tell out my soul. Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord. This is a day for telling out, as it was for Mary, as it was for Paul, here in this first reading, the second reading we've just had, bursting out. You don't quite get the sense of it. It's mid-chapter. He's sort of mid in the flow of what he's saying, but it's at the end of our reading. He just can't keep it in. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory forever. Amen. And then he goes back to what he was talking about. But it just overwhelms him at that moment. The sense of, I'm not worthy, God. I was the foremost of sinners. I persecuted your people. I'm just not worthy. And yet, you've been gracious. Tell out my soul. It calls to mind for me my favourite psalm of the moment, which I'm afraid I'm going to preach on because it's in my head the whole time at the moment. I've committed it to memory and just am praying it the whole time. It's Psalm 103, and it goes like this at the beginning. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your infirmities, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with faithful love and compassion, who satisfies your soul with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So it's just like Tell Out My Soul. Instead of calling on the congregation or calling on the choir to sing God's praises, you're calling on yourself to do it. It's a bit of personal coaching and cheerleading, and we all need to do that from time to time. So come on, tell out my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. This Psalm 103 has absolutely captivated my heart this last fortnight. And so I've been reading commentaries on it and just living in it. I couldn't preach on anything else, I'm afraid. We will finish this sermon by saying it together, line by line, as a prayer. One heavyweight tome on my shelves describes it as one of the finest blossoms on the tree of biblical faith. One of the finest blossoms. Its roots reach deep down to where the most powerful springs of biblical piety flow. And by the serene tones in which it praises the grace of God, it has enriched both poetry and life in the course of the centuries. Wonderful words from a very erudite German. As I say, it's a very heavyweight scholarly commentary, and he gets a little bit carried away there for a heavyweight German commentator. But if you pray Psalm 103, you'll get carried away as well. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Of course we know, so easy to take health for granted when everything's going well. But count your blessings. Forget not all his benefits. Bless God back with your praise, he's saying. As God has blessed you, bless him in return. The word for bless here is barak. It's one of seven Hebrew words translated as praise or bless in the Old Testament. It literally means to kneel down, to bow down with your face to the earth. Bless the Lord in that humble posture with your face to the earth, is what this is saying. And when you do that, your heart rises above your head. That, I think, is the significant thing. Your praise ceases to be just a cerebral, yes, praise you, God, thank you, move on, and becomes all your being. All that is within me, bless his holy name. What we're doing when we're singing our songs and our hymns in our worship is really just giving back to God, giving back to the Father, the best of what he's given to us in the first place. It's like when the children are young and they want to buy you a birthday present and they say, Mum, Dad, can we borrow your credit card? And they go online and they get something and you pretend to be surprised and you're very grateful, but actually you're just getting back something that you gave them anyway. That's all we're doing in our worship, just giving God back a token of what he's given us in the first place. Bless the Lord, O my soul, because he's blessed me. You get caught up in a reciprocal thing. He carries on. Who forgives all your sins, who heals all your infirmities, who redeems your life from the pit. That's your life. That's my life. Redeemed from the pit. You would be in the pit without Jesus. You would be utterly lost without Jesus. He has removed your sins. He can heal your infirmities. He redeems your life from the pit where you belong. And he crowns you with faithful love and compassion. This is an extraordinary gospel. You are crowned with faithful love and compassion. Hallelujah. Paul, like Paul writing to Timothy, the psalmist is beginning to think of things with which he's grateful to God, and it just comes tumbling out. You forgive all my sins, you heal my infirmities, you redeem my life from the pit. He's realizing that God's grace shines most brightly, actually, in the very places where otherwise there would be total darkness. He overcomes your sin. He overcomes your illness. He overcomes your death. You have resurrection in your veins. Now, it's been a hard week here at St. Mary's, and I realize that many of us are not well, are not going for runs every morning, aren't experiencing wonderful health at the moment. But you will. You have resurrection in your veins. That is your future. This week has been a hard week at St. Mary's with dear Michael's funeral and Thanksgiving services, but it was so good. Those of us who were here on Wednesday, many of us were here for that service. The church was wonderfully full, giving thanks for such a shining example of God's servant in this place. It was so good to rejoice in God's light shining in the darkness. And our first hymn we sang, "When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, when I die, what's it going to be like? What joy shall fill my heart?" That's what happens. "What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and proclaim, my God, how great thou art." There's nothing to fear. You have resurrection in your veins. All that's coming is joy upon joy upon joy. "How great thou art," we'll sing. Again, in our last hymn at Michael's service, "Lo, Jesus meets us, risen from the tomb. Lovingly he greets us, scatters fear and gloom." Fear and gloom are gone, they're scattered. For the Christian, with resurrection in your veins, let the church with gladness hymns of triumph sing. For her Lord now liveth, death has lost its sting. Jesus, joy of man's desiring, he's the one who's done it. Praise be to him. We are met by one who redeems our life from the pit, who crowns us with faithful love and compassion. Those of you who have penetrated the inner mysteries of the vicarage kitchen, which is like a sort of holy of holies in this parish. If you've been into the vicarage kitchen, you may have noticed on our fridge a postcard which is fixed there with a fridge magnet which says, "Always wear your invisible crown." It's not because the vicar, or actually the vicar's wife who put it there, has delusions of grandeur. It's in my mind anyway, perhaps she does, I don't know, where is she, still around the back there. It actually calls to mind this psalm. "He crowns you with love and compassion." Always wear that crown. You are crowned with love and compassion. It also, for me, calls to mind the glorious picture of heavenly worship portrayed in the book of Revelation, where God's people are gathered round his throne, worshipping the Lamb, casting their crowns before him, again and again, in tribute and adoration, casting their crowns. He crowns them, and they're not worthy to wear them, so they cast their crowns before them. I don't know whether you've ever pictured that scene and wondered how on earth it works. How do you keep casting your crown eternally before God? "Bless the Lord, O my soul. I cast my crown before you, Lord." And then I can imagine the angels saying amongst themselves, "I don't believe it. He's done it again. He's only gone and knelt down and crowned them again. And then I'm not worthy, Lord. Have this crown." Then he puts it back on your head. He crowns you again and again and again with faithful love and compassion. That's the gospel. Just as in the beginning, just as in the beginning the Father knelt to bless Barak and formed Adam from the earth and kissed him into being. Just as Jesus the Son knelt to bless Barak and washed his disciples' feet, knelt before them, so that all the church's ministry flows out from what he's first done for us. It's an eternal cycle of blessing and being blessed, blessing and being blessed. We participate in a cycle of Barak, of reciprocal kneeling and blessing and being blessed. It's a bit like the cycle in nature. Clouds rain down on the earth, the rain seeps through the water table into a stream, flows out to the sea, evaporates up into the clouds, and it rains again. There's a cycle that's going on all the time. "Bless the Lord, O my soul." A cycle of giving love and honour and blessing between the Father and you. You, his children. You, his precious child. You bless him in your worship. He blesses you. Crowns you with faithful love and compassion. He satisfies your soul with good things, so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's. You'll have noticed the gospel reading for today is, as a consequence, just full of joy, full of partying. That's why we've got all this fantastic bunting up today. Although I love the fact in St. Mary's that we can put bunting up at this level, but actually our forebears got there long before us, and there is like bunting up in the rafters anyway. People have got up there and painted permanent bunting up there, because we're constantly living in the presence of God's joy over us. That is like God, I think, like God's heaven just celebrating over our heads with bunting all the time. Because God gives joy into our hearts, then in the gospel it's clear that that brings joy to him, and he parties as a result. Jesus says, God, what's God like? Is he looking down on you with a frown? No, he's like a shepherd throwing a party for his friends and his neighbours, because he's found the sheep that he lost. He's like a housewife throwing a party for her friends and neighbours, because now she's found the precious coin that she'd lost. He says there's a party in heaven with the angels. As we're worshipping here, they're rejoicing over us there. There's a lovely verse in Zephaniah that says this: the Lord your God is in your midst. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. Never mind the singing we offer to him. He's singing over us. He's rejoicing over you because you've come home. Of course, Jesus goes on in this chapter to talk about rejoicing because of a found sheep, a found coin. But then also, he says, God rejoices like a father throwing a party because his lost child has come home. Like a father who runs and kneels once again. Barak kneels to bless his son, to put shoes on his feet, to put a ring on his finger, and the best robe around his shoulders. I don't know how many times I've preached on the parable of the prodigal son, or how many sermons I've heard, how many sermons you've heard. Those of you who sat down last have heard an awful lot of sermons on the prodigal son. Well, I learned something new about it just the other day. I didn't realize why the father ran. You think the father runs because he's so pleased to meet his son. But there is a deeper reason in the culture. Should a disgraced son have the nerve to return to the village where he has disgraced his father's name, where he has scorned his father's family, where he has given himself over to a life of debauchery? Were he to have the nerve to return, the whole village would rise up and would get hold of him in the market square, and what they would do is break a clay pot over his head as a symbol of shame. And then they would stand round and accuse him and hurl abuse at him. The reason why the father runs is because he wants to get there before the accusers do. The father runs because he wants to meet his son with grace before anyone can accuse him of what he's done. The father runs to you because he doesn't want you to live in shame. He reaches out to you with grace. This is extraordinary. And it's because of Jesus. As we know, it was shameful for dignified father figures to run at all in the ancient Near Eastern world. The father takes shame on himself in order to save his son from shame. He kneels and he kisses and he clothes his messy, wayward son. So this has been a sermon about Jesus, joy of man's desiring. The one who hastens to us with grace before the accusers can come with judgment. He's got to you first. Alleluia. As we rejoice in him this day, he rejoices over us. Alleluia. This patronal festival is a day for telling out how wonderful the Lord is. Tell out, my soul, the greatness of the Lord. As we pray now, in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to repeat Psalm 103 after me as your heart's prayer. But first of all, let's keep a moment's silence. Jesus, King of all the ages, reign as King over my life. Jesus, desire of all the nations, you are my heart's desire. Jesus, friend of sinners, though I am not worthy, let me see you face to face. And this is my prayer. Please say after me. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget not all his benefits. And forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all my sins? Who forgives all my sins? Who heals all my infirmities? Who heals all my infirmities? Who redeems my life from the pit? Who redeems my life from the pit? Who crowns me with faithful love and compassion? Who crowns me with faithful love and compassion? Who satisfies my soul with good things? Who satisfies my soul with good things? So that my youth is renewed like an eagle's. So that my youth is renewed like an eagle's. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. May God bless you in return, you who have resurrection in your veins.